Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath. We welcome everyone who is listening and tuning in today. We welcome you and we wish you a happy Sabbath as well. And as we begin here today, we're going to be looking at Psalm chapter 43, verse 3, where it talks about prayer and light and truth. And we want to pray today that God's Spirit will lead us. Will you join me in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, I pray that as we open your word, that your Holy Spirit would be here to give us wisdom and understanding. And we ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalm chapter 43, at verse number 3, as our scripture reading for today, it says, O send out thy light and thy truth, and let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. And this prayer, I believe, reveals the attitude of David. He knew that he needed more light and more truth for his own life, and he knew that his knowledge of light and truth was pretty limited. He needed God to explain to him more and more. And so if you turn with me in Proverbs chapter 4, I want to read Proverbs chapter 4 at verse number 18. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. In Proverbs 4, verse 18, it says, But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And as we come closer to God, there's more and more of his truth that he reveals to us. You ever notice how when you study the Bible, you can take time and read through the whole scriptures, and then you go back a short time later and you start all over to read them again, and there's so many new things that God reveals to you because at the time you read it the first time, you were able to understand those things that God had for you. But as your spiritual life progressed, as your understanding was increased through the Holy Spirit, you understood more new things because you were able to handle that. You were able to accept that and understand it. And I believe that this is what God is trying to get through to us, is that we need to be praying for this kind of light, this kind of truth, that it will lead us to Him on a daily basis. Now, I don't know if you're spending time with God on a daily basis, spending time in prayer and Bible study, but let me encourage you today that if you want your spiritual life to grow and flourish, you have to spend time with light and truth, and that is with Jesus. Isn't that true? You have to be able to open the Word of God and pray that the Holy Spirit will give you that kind of wisdom and that kind of light and truth of His Word. Without the Holy Spirit revealing it, enlightening us to the Word, we just kind of stumble along. We don't really understand the truth as God wants us to know it. But so many times, I believe that people who profess to be Christians, they oftentimes say, well, I've got all the truth that I need. I already understand all of that. I don't need anything else. I've been studying the Word for years, and I don't know that I could study anything more. In fact, I had a pastor once said, Pastor, what do you preach about? You've been in the ministry a long time. You've preached hundreds and hundreds of sermons. What do you preach about? Jesus. That's about as simple as I can make it. That's what we need to preach about, isn't that true? And I think as we go through the scriptures, you can never exhaust who Jesus is. You can't exhaust God's Word. The light and truth that is found in God's Word, we will never be able to exhaust it. God himself said in the scriptures that he is too high for us. And he has too many things for us that we can't understand. Jesus told his disciples, I have a lot of things that I need to say to you, but you're just not able to hear them. And in fact, their mind wasn't able to grasp all those things that Jesus wanted to reveal to them. And it's a progressive learning that you and I have. As we progress in our walk with Jesus, he reveals more and more truth and light to us. We need to be praying that God will give us that kind of truth and light in our own walk with him. Sometimes we get so caught up in our cares for life. Sometimes we get so busy in the interest that we have of life. You know, it's kind of hard sometimes, you know. You're wanting to be a good Christian, but you got your family you have to take care of. You got your work responsibilities. You got all the things pouring down on top of you sometimes. Sometimes the cares of life just weigh you down. But to be able to lift those cares up, friends, we need to spend time with Jesus. Isn't that true? Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. He'll get you up out of that situation. And we need to spend time with Jesus to be able to pray for this light and truth. And our text brings to us that light has these facts about light and truth that you and I need to understand. Light and truth do not come to us all at once. I don't think we could grasp it all at once. It'd be nice if we just kind of had a lid up here, you know what I'm saying, with a hinge on it. We could just open it up, and God would pour it all in. But I don't think it works that way. there's only a certain amount of stuff that I could grasp at one time. And I think that's true, because when we go to like an evangelistic meeting, and I remember going to that when I first became a Seventh-day Adventist, there was a lot of things said, but the pastor that was preaching didn't have time to stop and take questions. You know what I'm saying? He had a sermon that he was preaching. He was going through slides, and so he didn't have time to explain everything. But all of that truth came so quickly, there was so much of it, that my puny little brain couldn't grasp it all. And a lot of it just went right on by, you know. And I think it took time for me to be able to prayerfully study the Word of God for some of those truths to have an impact on my life. And I think we're all possibly the same way, unless you have perfect memory. You read over things, and sometimes you don't understand it, or you just slough over it like it wasn't even there. And we need to be able to pray that God will give us the light and the truth that we need. God knows our limitations, and He treats us accordingly. And we're not capable, nor are we ready to open and open to receive all the light that God has for us. And it could be the environment. It could be the habits of our life. It could be the busyness that we live, that we oftentimes don't have the ability to be able to handle everything that is revealed to us. But I believe that in every sermon, and this really, I don't quite understand how it works, except that it is the Holy Spirit's gift to each one of us, how one sermon can be preached and everybody can get something from that sermon. Isn't that true? And it may not be the same for every person. I remember years ago, I was teaching a prayer meeting at a church in southeastern Ohio when I was an elder. And I remember that after this, and I was actually teaching the lesson on health. And one of the ladies came up to me afterwards and talked to me about what she got out of the lesson. And it was totally opposite of what I had been teaching. And I wondered what she was listening to. But the Holy Spirit was speaking to her about something in that lesson that I hadn't covered. And I just felt like, you know, that's the way it is. You prepare one sermon. How does one sermon reach out to everyone that's listening? It's because the Holy Spirit takes those things that you and I need to hear, and He brings them to us in a way that's acceptable to us. And as we pray for light and truth, and we study God's Word, as we listen to the Word being preached, that's how we understand who God is, and He gives us that light and truth, and we pray for it. You ever try studying the Bible without praying? It's not very profitable. At least I've found it to be that way. When I pray that the Holy Spirit will give me wisdom and understanding, then I get a blessing. When I don't pray for that kind of thing, when I don't ask God to give me the Holy Spirit to give me blessing and understanding, I don't receive anything from it. I just follow through. It's just this rote thing, you know. I'm just going by memory on this. We need to be able to pray that God will give us the light and truth. And we need to ask God to give us all those things that we need to understand. We need to understand, too, that God's messengers, His Christians. How many people are here Christians today? Can I see your hand? Thank you. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're a Christian. Isn't that true? All right, now I'm going to ask another question. How many saints are here today? Can I see your hands? All right. Okay, for those of you that didn't raise your hand, I pray that some point in time that you'll recognize that the saints that God's talking about are those people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If you've been covered by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you're one of the saints that Jesus is coming back to take to heaven. Isn't that true? And I hope that every one of us, before we leave this world, before we breathe our last, that all of us will be considered the saints of God. Christians for Jesus, right? God uses us as His messengers to reach out to people around us. And you see, Jesus could have easily sent angels to do that. Don't you think so? I mean, there's a legion of angels God could send for us to be able to give these truths to people that we love, that we care about, that we know. But He didn't do that. Why? But there's one main reason. Because the angels have not experienced something that you and I have experienced as saints of God. They have never been redeemed. You and I have. And so we have a story to tell that the angels can't tell. We have a song to sing that the angels can't sing about this story of redemption in Jesus Christ. They have never fallen, those angels that are in heaven. They have never been redeemed. They have never had a need of the cross of Calvary like you and I have. We have a story to tell the world about what Jesus has done for us, what he means to us personally. And we can be thankful to God that he loved us so much that he sent his dear son here to prove his love for us. Amen. Thank you for that. Amen. Praise God for that. That we all recognize that God has done something great in our life and revealing this light and truth about who his son really is. And today, I believe because of Thanksgiving coming, we can be thankful to God, not only for the good gifts that God has given to us every day, for the warm houses that we live in, the food that we eat, the cars that we drive, the clothes we wear, the money to pay our bills, the jobs that we work. I mean, there's so many things that we can be thankful for, but the main thing that we can be thankful for is God's love to each one of us. Because that love is expressed in millions of ways to people around the world. Multitudes of times, God expresses that love to every one of us. And he shows it over and over again. And as we pray for this light and truth, God is showing more and more of his love. And he wants to use us, his redeemed people, to give this message of hope and encouragement and love to the world around us. Paul's experience on the way to Damascus, it points out what redemption is about. Paul was a persecutor of the church of God. This new church that Jesus had started in the New Testament, it was faltering, and it had all kinds of attacks on it from the outside. And Paul was one of those people that was doing everything he could to stop the gospel message. But on the road to Damascus, he met his Savior face to face. And that's what you and I do as we become Christians, as we become saints of God. We meet Jesus just like Paul did, face to face. And we become Christians because of Jesus. Paul's experience, I think, illustrates for us that point of how the angels cannot tell the story of redemption like you and I can. They can relate it from what they hear from us, but they can't tell it from experience like you and I can. The experience of Cornelius, it gives us this light of what redemption is about. Cornelius received a vision. He prayed. And God answered his prayer, and Peter came to his house and spoke to him and his family and friends, and the whole group of them got baptized and received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Think about what the Ethiopian had been studying the scriptures of Isaiah, and he had been praying for light and truth, and here comes Philip and asks him the question, "Do you understand what you're reading?" What a simple question. The Ethiopian could have said, "Go on your way, sir, mind your own business." But he said, "No, I don't understand. Can you help me?" And you see, I think that's where God puts us in a position, these divine appointments, where we can give a word of encouragement and understanding about what God is saying to people who do not understand the scriptures. God has multitudes of people longing, wistfully looking towards heaven, but they don't understand the scriptures. They don't know what God is asking for them, and they're wanting somebody to come and explain that to them. And that's where God wants to use people who have been redeemed, the Christians, the saints of God, to be able to give this message of hope and redemption to the world around us. It's God's plan for us to send out light and truth through his consecrated Christians, his saints of God. The grand purpose of light and truth is that they would lead me to Jesus and to Calvary. Isn't that true? Yeah. We all need it. In John chapter 17, verse 17, it says, "Thy word is truth, and sanctify them through thy word, through the truth." And that's how we become sanctified, friends, set apart, holy for God, is that we read the word, the truth of God's word, and it comes into our heart. It does something about changing who we are. I believe that God wants us to understand his word. And he didn't write this for theologians with many doctoral degrees behind their name. He wrote it for everyday human beings just like us. He wrote it so that we could clearly understand it. But we need the Holy Spirit to be able to enlighten us in this truth so that we can implement that into our own life. I think that God wants us to understand it. In the last days, it's going to be important. Because there's coming a time, friends, when the word of God might be taken away from us. We may have to close our churches because of persecution. We may have to have our Bibles taken away from us and be persecuted because of our faith in Christ. But if we put that word in our heart, if we've locked it up there, nobody can steal it from us. Isn't that true? Nobody can take it from us if it's locked up here. We got to put it in our heart and our mind. And it's impossible for us to give that light and truth to somebody else if we haven't read it ourselves. If we don't understand it, how can we share it with somebody else? And so we need to be praying that God's Holy Spirit will give us that light and truth. Isaiah said this in Isaiah 3:12. He said, "O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths." Yet you see, sometimes people err and they don't even know it. I'll just give you a story. Years ago, when Linda and I was in a Baptist church, we ate anything we wanted to. Anything that didn't eat us, we tried to eat it. We ate everything. Mercy, I ate enough pork to start a pig farm. And when we became Adventist, I remember a time that we went to a Pizza Hut in southeastern Ohio, and we were eating a pizza with pepperoni on it. I didn't realize that it had some things in it that I wasn't supposed to be eating. And we had some friends who was going to the same church we were at. They never said a word to us about it. But as we progressed in our understanding of the will of God for our life, we understood that we were doing something that we weren't supposed to be doing. And God revealed that. And that's been the case for many things in my life. You know, you build up certain habits in your life. You're accustomed to doing things a certain way. Oftentimes we don't recognize it as being an offense to God. We don't recognize that we're not living within the full will of God for our life. And so as we study, as we pray for light and truth, God reveals to us what he wants us to understand. He gives us that light and truth so that we can make those changes in our life and become more in tune with his will for our life. It'd be nice if God, when we said, "I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior," and he poured all that truth right into our head. And then we didn't ever have to study. We didn't have to pray. We didn't have to work for that. Be nice. When it was time for me to go out and start witnessing, I was really frightened. And I thought, in fact, I told the Sabbath school teacher that was giving us these Bible study cards to go out and visit with people, I said, "Well, what am I going to do if somebody asks me a question? I don't know the Bible." Well, it was pretty easy. You just tell them, "Well, I don't have the answer, but I'll study it, and I'll come back with an answer next week, and I'll try to help you with that." And I believe that God, because of that situation, helped me to grow spiritually, because then I was able to open up the Word and prayerfully study it for myself, and I was able to understand more and more as the Holy Spirit revealed it. I remember years ago when we first became Seventh-day Adventist, I had a lot of questions, and the pastor was pretty understanding, and he says, "Well, this is where you can find it. This is how you study it. Go do it." And he didn't answer all of my questions. He encouraged me to study for myself, and I want you to be able to do the same thing. I want you to be able to take those questions to God and prayerfully study for the Holy Spirit's enlightenment, for light and truth. And so those things can become personal to you so that you can be able to express them as a redeemed person of God to the people who do not understand the truth. Just like the Ethiopian asked Philip the question, "Can you help me out?" There are a lot of people that need help. A lot of people that don't understand the scriptures the way they should. And if people don't understand, and we don't understand, how are we going to help them? We need to be able to read the scriptures and pray that God will give us that enlightenment. We're warned to put our trust in God and not to put our trust in the wisdom of men. No matter how smart, how intelligent we may think we are, we're not even a speck in the intelligent level compared to God. God knows it all. He's got omniscience. And we don't have that yet. In fact, I don't think we're ever going to have it. God is the all-wise, almighty God, and he understands it. And we need his wisdom to be able to deal with life the way he wants us to. And the purpose of the light and truth is, like it says in the opening text, "Let them bring me to thy holy hill." That's the goal of everyone who professes godliness in Jesus Christ, is that this light and truth will bring us to the holy hill of God, preparing us for the return of Jesus. I want to be ready for that day, don't you? Amen. I don't want to miss it for anything. And God didn't send me here just to be an administrator in the church. He didn't send me here just to do weddings and funerals. He didn't send me here just to do some of those administrative things and some of those ministry things. He sent me here so that I could speak the truth to you and everybody who is listening to prepare you for the return of Jesus. I don't want to miss it for anything in this world, and I don't want you to miss it either. Jesus wants us all to be ready to be there when he comes back to take his people to heaven. He wants us to be ready. And that is the whole goal of this text, is that this light and truth will prepare the way for us to meet Jesus and when he comes back to take his people home. The kingdom of heaven should be our first and our greatest concern. It should be something that we're praying about, something that we're longing for. And oftentimes we get so caught up with life that we forget all about that. Sometimes we think the church is just another business. It's just another institution, another organization. It's not. It's the body of Christ. And when we've been baptized, Jesus, the scriptures tell us that we put on Christ. In other words, we're supposed to be like him. That's why we've got the name Christians, because we're supposed to be like Christ. Isn't that true? Yes. And so God wants us to be able to prepare for that. And that's why we need light and truth, because it prepares us for the time when Jesus will come back. Jesus said to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you." He's coming for you. He's coming again. And he wants to take every one of us back to heaven with him. I don't want to miss it. I want to be there. And I hope that you will make plans not to be missing as well, that you'll be ready to go when Jesus returns. I want to be in that kingdom, and I want to be ready, and I want to be able to do everything I can to help you get ready. And I believe that God wants us to be studying his word so that we can understand the truth for ourselves. And if we're just listening to other people tell us what the truth is, then we're just a reflector of what they think, right? I don't want you to be a reflector of what I think. I want all of us to study the Word of God and be a reflector of what God thinks. Because as you think about it, the bottom line of this is that heaven doesn't belong to any denomination or church or person. Heaven belongs to God. Isn't that true? And so God wants us to understand the truth for ourselves. He doesn't want us to reflect the thoughts of the multitudes of people, because you can ask anybody anywhere. You can get into any group and ask one question and you'll get a multitude of answers. But you ask God the question, and you get one answer. I want to hear what God has to say. That's the bottom line. Because it's his heaven, this is his truth, I want to understand what he has to say. I want to know what he thinks so that I can adjust my life to be in will with him. And I believe that that's what God wants us to do. The only way for us to get to the kingdom is through light and truth, because it leads us to Jesus. Isn't that true? It leads us to Christ, and that's where we need to be. Every one of us need to be at the foot of the cross, and we can thank God today because of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Think of what your life would be like without Jesus. Think of what it would be like without forgiveness, without mercy, compassion, tenderness. Think of what it would be like without the promises of God's Word. What would your life be like if you didn't have the Bible to read to help you understand who Jesus is, what God is like? How could you be ready for heaven if you didn't know these things? You wouldn't even know there was a heaven if it wasn't for the Word of God. And so we can thank God. We can praise him on this time of Thanksgiving. Yes, we can thank him for our families. We can thank him for the times that we gather around our table of Thanksgiving and praise God for all of the blessings that we have. But let's not forget to praise God for who he is, for what he's done for every one of us, that every good and gracious gift that comes down to us comes down out of heaven from God. Everything, every slice of bread that you and I eat, every breath that we take, everything that we own and every blessing that we have, it all comes from God. And we can praise him and thank him during this Thanksgiving season that he has been so loving and gracious to every one of us. Don't forget, as you're worshiping and fellowshipping with your family during this holiday season, don't fail to give thanks and praise and glory to God for what he's done for you and your family. Join me in prayer, if you will, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the many blessings that you give us. I thank you and praise you, Father, that you have reached out to each one of us, and you've made us a part of your family through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for all the things that you've done in answering prayers for each one of us, and for how you've redeemed us through Jesus, I thank you for the promise of heaven. I thank you for everything that you give us, every good and gracious gift. We realize it comes from you. And during this holiday season of Thanksgiving, I pray, Father, that we will not turn a deaf ear on what you have done to us, for us, and that you would be with our families and you bless each one of them as we rejoice together in our fellowship with our family. And I pray, Father, that you would keep us all safe and thankful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.